These past couple of weeks, we have been feasting at the banquet of the parables. I'm sure you have noticed that. And today, we read once again the conclusion of Jesus' discourse on the parables. It's in Matthew chapter 13. We read this as part of Sunday's gospel, as you probably remember. This is the scholars like to say there are seven parables in the chapter, and the seventh one is the parable of the net. But then there's this image of the head of the household who's taking out the new and the old. It sounds like a parable also. So anyway, those are the images of today. And then in the first reading today, we get what seems like a parable as well, the potter working at his wheel. So let's just address this gospel first, and then we'll go to the potter. The idea of collecting lots of things in a big net and then sorting them out afterwards is Jesus' image of what happens at the end of time, very much like we learned from the parable of the weeds and the wheat, this sorting process. But it also applies to, as we have said, the process of discernment, sorting out not only the good and the evil at the end of time, but sorting out good and evil in our own hearts, or figuring out what is the right or wrong thing to do today. We'll be coming back to this topic of discernment tomorrow, because tomorrow's saint, the great saint of discernment, Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Anyway, we know that we are responsible. Just like a fisherman has to decide which to keep and which to throw away, we all have a responsibility to decide what things in our inner life, especially, we should treasure and what we should reject. Because we do collect a lot of things. In fact, here it is, it's not even 8 in the morning. From the time you woke up this morning to the time you walked into the chapel, you already collected lots of stuff in your net, good and bad. I was thinking of this because I'm always aware of the temptation of looking at the social media or whatever is available on the internet. So, but I do like to check my calendar, and on my calendar, of course, I have brother's birthday today is listed in my calendar. But then I have a number of appointments that I don't want to forget. I don't want to be late. So those things that's good. I want to treasure that information. But then, of course, I pick up the Word of God, which I looked at last night, and I say, oh, here's a gospel about the very thing I'm doing right now, sorting out what I have already collected. I've only been awake for about 10 minutes, and already I've got a sorting process going on, and I'm sure you've done the same. Maybe you took a little breakfast, probably greeted members of your household, people getting ready for their day. Some people said things that were very, wonderful, good morning, don't you look good today? Some people said things that are insulting or offensive, and you had to reject it and not carry it around, that sort of thing. So that's a way of interpreting the parable of the net as a sorting process that applies, yes, to the Lord at the end of time, but also to us right now, today. In fact, right now as you're sitting here, some of the things I say will be worth keeping, I hope. Some of the things I say are not, so just get rid of them. And some of the things that pop into your head, which are not coming from me, you also have to reject. That's simply the way it is for anyone who is a responsible human being. Then there's the image of the scribe taking out of the storehouse old and new. Sometimes the scholars point out that this can be referred to the Old and the New Testament. But sometimes things from the New Testament really speak to us and they're valuable for now. Sometimes something from the Old Testament is the right message for us today. If we're wise, we know which ones to take out of the storehouse and make the object of our attention for the moment. But let's turn now to this wonderful image of the potter. It's a great little account, partly because Jeremiah didn't come up with this. He was told, go to the potter's house and I will give you my message. So he doesn't even know what's happening here. He goes to the potter's house and he sees the potter working at the wheel, which is a fascinating process, like any artistic work. It's great to watch people, it's artists or creative people at work. If you've ever watched somebody do a painting or working with sculpting, you know, chipping away at a piece of rock or marble or something, or a potter, there's something fascinating about it. How from the raw materials emerges something, first of all, recognizable and then even beautiful. I remember a year or two ago, I was at a glass blowing studio. It's amazing. I mean, the glass starts out as just sand, you know, and they throw it into a furnace or whatever, and it becomes just a molten, glowing, orange-yellow blob. And they take this long tube and they stick it in there, and then they work with it. They blow into the tube and they make this thing, and they're rolling it back and forth. And of course, it's I don't know what, you know, thousands of degrees, and you can't touch it. But they have all these tools and they shape the thing. It's a fascinating process. Anyway, here's the potter. Jeremiah gets there. The potter is working at the wheel. When the thing he's working on turns out badly, and he squashes it down and starts all over again. And then comes the message from the Lord. Can I not do to you, house of Israel, as this potter has done? Indeed, the clay, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. Very clear. We're the clay. The Lord is the potter. Very important to get this, because when we look at the artist or the potter, we say, isn't that a beautiful process? And don't we like being in charge of clay? And don't we like working with our hands to make things look beautiful? And we get the awareness that we're also potters to a certain degree. We're also responsible for the shape of our lives. But not absolutely. And this is one of the errors of modern times. The idea that we are the potters of reality itself. Modernist error, or postmodern error, that we are the masters of our fate, that we determine the meaning of reality. The extreme case of this, of course, is the transgender ideology, where people claim to be able to choose their own gender, which is determined by the potter, not by us. Anyway, the idea that we're the masters of everything in our life and in reality itself, that's an error which eliminates God and makes it impossible for us to submit ourselves to the forming process of our Creator. So it's very important to get this. It's so basic, but this something so basic is not always recognized, that we are clay in the hands of the potter. So basic, in fact, that it goes all the way back to creation. Remember the creation of the first man? What was he made out of? Clay or dirt. And who took that clay and formed it into a man? The Lord. So this image is very fundamental. Now, I was reflecting on this a little bit, and the reading in the liturgy ends with this, like clay in the hand of a potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. But the story in the Bible actually goes further. I'd like to read this for you because it helps us understand what the message is here. The message isn't just that we're clay. The message is partly that the Lord changes his plan according to the responsiveness of the clay. Meaning, yes, the Lord's the potter and we're the clay, but we also have a role to play in how we are shaped. So let me read this to you. This is Jeremiah chapter 18. In the little footnote here in the New American Bible, it says this: the lesson of the potter is that God has the power to destroy or restore, changing his plans accordingly as these nations disobey him or fulfill his will. So it's the emphasis, according to this, is it's not just about being clay, it's about the Lord having the freedom to change his mind, which is a little bit challenging for the theologians because, of course, God is perfect and he never changes his mind. He already has a perfect, he's unchangeable, immutable. That's the nature of the divinity. But when it comes to his relationship with us, yes, he changes according to what is best for us. This is what it says. Okay, so here's Jeremiah 18. Our reading goes up to verse 6. So are you in my hand, house of Israel. Here's verse 7 and onward. At one moment, this is the Lord speaking now. At one moment, I may decree discerning concerning a nation or kingdom that I will uproot and tear down and destroy it. But if that nation against whom I have decreed turns from its evil, then I will have a change of heart regarding the evil which I have decreed. Repentance means that God will not bring about the consequence of our sin. He's willing to forgive if we're willing to repent. At another moment, I may decree concerning a nation or kingdom that I will build up and plant it. But if that nation does what is evil in my eyes, refusing to obey my voice, then I will have a change of heart regarding the good with which I planned to bless it. Now tell this to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, look, I am fashioning evil against you and making a plan. This is the warning the Lord has been giving through Jeremiah. You're getting in the way of the plan of the potter, and it's going to lead to your destruction. So tell the people this. Yeah? I'm fashioning evil against you and making a plan. Return, all of you, from your evil ways. Reform your ways and your deeds. That's the opportunity to be soft clay in the hands of the potter. But they will say, no use. We will follow our own devices. Each one of us will behave according to the stubbornness of our evil hearts. That's bad clay, right? Clay that refuses to be shaped. What happens to clay that refuses to be shaped? It doesn't get squashed down and reshaped. It gets thrown away because a potter can't use hardened clay. It has to be soft. So it's one thing to have turned away from the Lord, to have sinned, to have hardened ourselves against the Lord, and then repented, because that softens the clay again. There's always hope for a sinner who's willing to repent. But it's another thing if the clay says, no, I'm going to do it my own way. I'm not going to repent. This is what it says, like the evil nation. I'm going to live according to my own devices, the plans of my own evil heart. Well, then what can the Lord do with that kind of clay? What can the potter do? Take it off the wheel. Well, it's a beautiful image and a profound image. Certainly, it applies to many levels, not only the end of time, human history, nations and their ups and downs, but also to our own personal journey. Each day we are invited to be again clay, and not just any kind of clay, soft clay, obedient clay, humble clay, clay which the Lord can shape into something beautiful. That's the Lord's plan for us. Let us yield to the good work of the potter.